This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everyone, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Good to have you here. Look at my guest panel. Okay, maybe it's redundant, but you all know I'm at Amelia Island at the Institute's Summit 2025, where the theme is Stand Out. We are theinstitute.com. Thank you so much to Kent and Cecil Bullard and the entire team from the Institute. We've had a blast here learning a lot, meeting a lot of our great friends, meeting new friends, and creating content that I know you're going to continue to appreciate. A lot of great stuff coming out of this. Thank you so much to our sponsors. Hey, take your auto care center to the next level, the gold level, with the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program. This program is for the best of the best who can provide a consistent consumer experience and earn the trust of returning and new customers. Talk to your NAPA sales representative about how you can become a gold certified shop. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, I'm with two great people that I met in Buffalo, New York. I don't know, maybe it was about maybe 7-8 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Tracy Holt from Performance Place in South Jordan, Utah. And Tracy's with his sister, Patrice Vance, in the operational side of the business. All the book. You work the counter?
I do, yeah.
Whoa,
yep.
Cool.
I do it all.
All right. Let me sell me a diagnostics. No, I'm kidding.
I'll check your car in and make sure you feel comfortable leaving it with us, though.
Okay, I am fine. A family business since 1974. I met you guys at a group meeting in Buffalo.
Yeah.
When you did a peer review of my friend Tom Ciordino. Remember that?
Yeah. Tom is just a great guy. Good friend of ours. He's actually my partner in the group process right now.
You mean composite partner?
Yep.
Yeah. Tom? Whoa, how cool is that? Because I have the word here. I wanted to talk to you and ask you about composite partners.
Yeah, Tom's been our partner for the last year, and we've grown so much in learning from him, and hopefully he's learned something from us too.
Well, trust me, Tom is a sponge. He's a great friend. My wife's name is Ann. His wife's name is Ann. We spent some time over the holiday together, and I'm just so happy to hear that. What's composite partnering like?
You know, when you get in a 20 group from the Institute, your coach that you have, but then once you get in there, they assign you a partner that helps hold you accountable for your numbers. And then it's also nice to have somebody else that literally at a text, an email, a phone call away saying, hey, we've got some issues here. What do you think? It's like getting another coach is what it does.
You said the word account, and the word accountability has been talked about a lot here and any of the keynote speakers that we've had. Do you find accountability one of the hardest things to do?
I do. I mean, I think the accountability is really hard to do, but like in the instance of
but you need it.
You do. And it's hard to be accountable if you don't know what you're measuring and being accountable for.
Right.
And if you don't share those goals or benchmarks with somebody else to help hold you accountable, you know, in your mind, they're just thoughts and hopes and dreams.
So would you say to Tom, I know what your goals are for this year. I know you're looking for another whole point of margin. We're getting together. We're looking at each other's numbers. We're seeing what's going on with your business. And oh, by the way, Tom, you have not reached that goal. I'm holding you accountable. I'd like to know. Is that how it works?
That's exactly how it works. Yep. Yeah. And then usually he can say, this is my struggles. And maybe we have some insights and we come up with a game plan and, you know, set some new benchmarks and goals and move forward with it.
Shop owners say, I can't do that. I can't be that vulnerable. I can't expose my weaknesses. But you guys overcame that.
Yeah, it was really scary at first, like the composite and showing numbers and making sure things were right. Tom was pretty much, like Tracy said, our coach during the beginning of it, you know, coming in new and not really knowing what we're doing and making corrections all the time on what our data was. But before, we didn't know what any of those numbers were and why we needed to hit these certain goals. And that's what the Institute has done for us is, okay, well, I need to hit this margin, but why? And what does that play a part in? And why are these other margins this? So it's more of just like saying, hey, you need to hit a number. It's this is the reason why behind it. Tom's really good about, you know, we're having struggles. He is. It's just more of like a friendship where, yeah, guess what? We're all not going to have great months in business, but I have a buddy that's going to help me through it. And instead of just like losing hope, it's like, hey, bad month, let's move on. Let's figure out what we can do the next time.
I say the word struggle a lot on my podcast. And here you are, very successful, long-term family business. And you mentioned the word struggle. And Tom mentions the word struggle. And you're all doing so well. And when you get that up on the table, life changes.
It does. We were sitting at dinner last night with Tom and some other friends. And it's just interesting to hear other shops' struggles of, my service advisor did this, a technician did this, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it just all of a sudden in your mind, you're like, oh, you know what? His business may be at a different dollar level than mine, but the struggles are the same from one to another. Personnel issues, you know, whatever it is. We find out that our struggles are the same struggles that everybody's having.
We've had some great speakers here. Loved them so far. There's still one coming up. Mm-hmm. Did you like Dan Clark?
Oh, I love Dan Clark.
It's amazing.
He is amazing. And it's funny, I had not really heard of Dan until, you know, I was looking at the summit.
Same here.
So on the plane ride out, I'm downloading books, and I downloaded his book and listened to it halfway out here on the plane. And I got a chance to talk and with him a little bit. And I'm like, you're absolutely amazing. And
I interviewed him.
Yeah.
He was here. He was sitting where you were, or you are, yeah, right now. Yeah, in the hot seat. He was fabulous. So there's a lot of people that I've interviewed while I've been here in Orlando who talking about Dan Clark. So if we've not motivated you, my listener, to search for that episode on Dan Clark, please do it. My big takeaway was your why is stronger than your why not. That hit you hard, didn't it?
It did. When he was talking about that in this business, as you become coachable and whatever. Aaron Woods, my coach, our first meeting, the first questions out of his mouth to me was, why are you doing this? There was a long pause and you have these, and I gave him some answer and it didn't really mean anything.
He wasn't happy with
it. No, he didn't let me off. He goes, no, you got to think about why you do this. Mm-hmm. What's going to cause you to make these changes? You know, after some soul searching, and it's funny, I found that everybody's why for me changes over time. Why you do something today may not be why you do it tomorrow. But then when Dan talked about, you know, it's one thing to find your why and why you do something, but what initiates the action is when the why becomes stronger than the why not. It initiates the action.
Because we think so much, Patricia, I'm sure this has happened to you. Why should I do this? Why shouldn't I do it?
Yeah. Well, self-doubt's huge on that, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to doubt yourself than to trust yourself just to go do the things that in any business that you're capable of, right? It's the risk that we're going to take to become these successful people. So self-doubt is a little bit, you know, that's the why not as well. So if we can become over that, it's kind of the same concept.
Family businesses, trust me, tons of my listeners are family businesses, from dad to kids wondering if their kids are coming in, you know, the multi-generational things. How does the dynamic of your family work? And is dad still working in the business? Let's talk about that.
No, dad, since about COVID time, he's been retired for years, but he just showed up every day at the shop. Mm-hmm. And then since COVID kind of triggered him and forced him to stay away because he's having a few health issues. And we said, Dad, you got to stay away. There's just, you know, we don't know what's going on in the world with what you're dealing with. Let's just stay away. So they have a house in Southern Utah and he spent some time down there. And I think it opened his eyes saying, yeah, I can be away from the shop. And you know what? We're going to turn the lights on every day and still go to work. You know, and that I think started the process of him stepping away full time and turning it over to us and saying, you know, you guys have got this. These are all your decisions. I'm going to step away 100%.
Does he consult with you? Do you consult with him? How's that work?
I still talk to him every other day. And, you know, in the beginning, I had a lot of questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? The good thing is now it's kind of turned back into a father and son thing to where he asked me about the business, but now we just talk about other stuff.
So he must be so proud of you guys.
Yeah. which has been hard. He's been a business partner. I mean, this is the only job I've ever had, you know, in a family business, as everybody knows. 90% of your conversations evolve around what's going on with the business.
Really? You mean even at Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my. I grew up in a family business. I know.
Yeah.
That's the only holiday we spend together is Thanksgiving, because we're with each other every day for 5 days a week. But yeah, we enjoy each other regardless. But.
So no rules at the, is there rules at the Thanksgiving dinner table? That's not talk work.
It's funny, as dad stepped away, it's been easier and easier to separate that, because dad was always the one that was instigating. Well, what about this? What about that at the shop?
But how about you guys?
We're learning to find some balance, I think. You know, I think I've been able to find a little more balance between work is work, and it's always on my mind, but there's times when you've just got to shut it off and put that behind you.
It's almost like maybe an emotional sense of relief. Tracy, do I talk? Yes. Oh, she didn't even hear my question. I guess for me, it's all about work. Because that's what it was when I grew up. Yeah. That's what I, okay. All right. Let's talk about your business. Was there ever a major pivot that you look back on and say, glad we did that?
That's one of the things I brought up in the conference, and it got me thinking about that. You know, everybody in their life has these pivoting points that move you down a different path. Sorry, I'm going to probably get emotional there. But
it's all right, man.
You know, for me, it was about 8 years ago, my son was in a horrific car accident. Basically, he was a college football player and had just started playing football. You know, you have your kids that have these dreams and aspirations, and that was number one of his since he was 8 years old. Dad, I'm going to play college football. I'm like, okay. He gets to play one semester, basically, of football, and was in a horrific accident. Basically, he was ejected from his car at about 70 miles an hour going down the freeway in an accident. Long story short, he was in a coma for 3 months, broken neck, broken back, traumatic brain injury that we were told, you know, he's got a 10% chance to make it through the weekend. If he makes it through the weekend, he's going to be a vegetable. Fast forward a year, he's in the hospital, out of the hospital, they send him home with us. And he was home. He had to learn how to walk, talk, everything of that. But he's home. And now I've got a 21-year-old son that's sitting at home, you know, kind of in self-doubt and pity, trying to figure out, what do I do with my life? I said, get up, you're coming to work with me. So I drug him to work, made him come to the office, and he started to progress and get better and better. But over time, all of a sudden, I just realized, it's like, regardless, this business, I need to make it profitable and sustainable to where, for him, I've always got a place for him to work. You know, that was kind of my why in the beginning, which sprung me and it became stronger than my why not. I need to make this work for him. Since then, my why has changed dramatically. It's still there for him. He still works for me. But, you know, that was the initial pivot point in my life where it's like, we need some coaching. We need some help. We need to make this successful. So no matter what happens to me, you know, this will be here for him. That was the one point that I can look at my life where my life changed because of that.
You gave him purpose.
I did. I was talking to Dan about this yesterday and kind of sharing a little bit with him about his accident and what happened. And I said, it's one of those points in your life that absolutely I wish this would have never happened to him. But as a family, it's been a great blessing because we've learned so much about each other, about overcoming adversity and building a strong team at work. There's so many life lessons that we've learned because of that.
EVs and other high voltage vehicles are changing the automotive landscape. Is your shop ready? With more than 16% of these light duty vehicles on the road, you will have many opportunities to service them, but you must do safely and properly. Get your shop trained and equipped to service hybrid and EV vehicles with NAPA AutoTech's innovative EV Ready Level 1 High Voltage Awareness and Maintenance Training. This four-day program is held in a fully functioning EV repair facility with all the latest high-tech equipment and technology needed to train your technicians to go from an EV maintenance tech to an EV battery service tech after completing the entire program. This four-day program is held in a fully functioning EV repair facility with all the latest high-tech equipment and technology needed to train your technicians to go from an EV maintenance tech to an EV battery service tech after completing the entire program. Each topic starts with intensive classroom training followed by in-depth, hands-on practice, and students are tested on the knowledge they gained in the classroom. Technicians will learn on various hybrid and EV vehicles such as Tesla, Toyota, GM, Ford, Hyundai, and Nissan. This will allow them to make educated decisions on equipment needed in their own shop to perform repairs. This course is on site at the Napa Automotive Research Center in Canton, Ohio. Attendance requires ASE 6 certification, EPA ASE 609 certification, and at least 5 years of shop experience. The total cost is only $4,000 per attendee, which includes the four-day course, hotel, breakfast, lunch, and the PPE needed to perform the services. Now, if you're a gold-certified auto care, you can use your gold marketing funds to offset the cost. Hey, don't miss out on this invaluable opportunity to advance your team skills and ensure your shop is EV-ready. Contact the Napa Training Service Center at 800-292-6428 to secure your spot. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Napa Trax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
So, Patrice, on the counter, I got this quote from 2022. CNBC said 56% of Americans don't have $1,000 in savings. Think about that when you're talking to clients. Yeah. Would that change how you look at financing for them and how they come in? Last place they want to be is an automotive repair shop. Unless it's routine maintenance, right? And they're coming in for the right reasons. I thought about that, and I thought about all the great financing plans that exist in our industry. Do you use them?
We don't. We've tried some in the past. They haven't been the greatest for us, haven't been the people who need those that have applied, don't seem to get accepted. That's a huge roadblock for them. We haven't pursued anything recently, but I know there are options out there. Fortunately, where our business is, a pretty successful area of Salt Lake, so we don't see that very often. I'm not saying that it's not there, but we don't come across that very often in our business.
Okay. Do you use a CRM?
Yes.
How's it working for you? Is it bringing in new business?
Well, with us, it's hard because we are such an established company, been there for 51 years. Our business is repeat customers, generations after generations. We know grandparents, parents, their kids, so for us, marketing and all of that hasn't really been a necessity until we've decided to grow. So we always ask ourselves, like, why are you guys so successful? Why are you guys so busy? We don't know. We were just so fortunate. I think our dad growing up being that guy who was, he just took care of people back then.
It doesn't mean that the customers trust you, love you. You do great work. There's hardly any comebacks. The 5-star reviews. I was on your website. It's unbelievable. Wow. All the reviews you got. I was looking for a bed when I couldn't find one.
There's a couple in there, but
I'm sure there. Trust me, there have to be because we're human. Yeah. 14 bay, 10,000 square feet. How many people do you have working for you?
We have 15 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
And here it is, this great business, and it hit you guys over the head. I got to get some direction. I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and it stemmed from, you know, when we took over all the day-to-day operations. We were successful. We paid our bills every month. And, you know, as I started to do a deep dive into the numbers, I'm like, we are working way too hard for what we have left over. We're doing something wrong. we're doing enough right to survive, but we're not doing enough right to be profitable. So that's really the last, I don't know, few years has been our focus of profitability, making sure we're giving the customer the best experience they could have, doing what's right for the customer, and putting the customer first, and then pricing ourselves accordingly. And everything's kind of started to fall into place to where now I start to look at expansion. We're expanding the back of the shop. We're adding 5 new bays that should be up and running any day now, which will allow us to expand more technicians, more, you know, better, more opportunity. But you have asked me that a couple of years ago. I'm like, I don't want any more bays. I can't handle the workflow we got now, the personnel we got now.
You just hit on something that I really want to talk about, your intuition. Every once in a while, it's there and you tamp it down. And then it comes back up and it gets up a little higher in your head and you tamp it down. And is that not only what you've learned on how to make more money, how to hire great people, how to take care of your clients, but now all of a sudden, I want to grow?
Yeah, I mean, you look at with our staff we've got now and finally getting it to the point where I've, you know, they call it the well-oiled machine, that everything is doing their part.
Never is, but go ahead.
Yeah. In your mind, you think that's what you're striving for. Yeah. There's always something broke in it that needs addressing. Yeah. But yeah. I think we're finally getting enough stuff right that we can grow at a pace and sustain it and not hurt us and only make us better.
After 51 years, to a point, you have a foundation that's not just a 6-inch slab. You guys got to have like a 4-foot foundation. And there's probably not a lot you could experiment and do that you can't recover from.
No. Yeah. And we're trying new things, but we now step back and say, okay, is this going to give value to our customers? Is this going to give value to the company? Is it going to have value to our employees? I always say that everybody needs to win. The customer, my employees, and the shop as a whole needs to win. You know, and if I can check those boxes off, we'll pursue it.
Do you guys have a great cost management hack that you can give our listener?
Boy, you know, it's funny. We had no cost management hack at all until getting on with the Institute and then starting to see your numbers broke down to what everything, every little aspect of your business costs. We realized that after that, we were high in some things and really low in other things. Marketing were really low, because we've never had to market.
So you don't really have a big budget for marketing.
No, but we're making a shift in that now because we can see with the growth potential.
Yeah, the new bays may account for you to have to reach out.
Yeah, okay. So we're actually just signed up with Sharp Shop Marketing Pros and look forward to a relationship with them.
Kim and Brian Walker. Yeah, they have a show on our network. They're good, great people, love them.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. They're going to build this new website. And I was talking to him yesterday about, I've got enough car count right now to expand, but I need to mark it up for down the road.
That's a very interesting, but not a great cost hack.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I looked at uniforms, I looked at subscriptions. Have you done anything like that?
We're always looking for, if certain things are high in the business, what, you know, other options, but our expenses have always been kind of in check, just kind of the way dad taught us.
Yeah. Oh, family businesses are so like that.
Yeah.
What are you spending that money on? What's that? Who bought that? Does it sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Constantly. That was dad's, you know, we were instilled in that of like, watch what you spend.
Was your mom in the business?
She did all the books for
me. Okay. Oh, my God. She probably stood there at attention. With her rifle.
100% she did.
And that was my grandma, by the way.
And then it's the same thing. I do that to Tracy. So I've taken my mom's space and I'm sitting there with the rifle on the expenses. So.
Girl.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right? Wow. So you got to go through your sister to spend money.
Yeah. And I don't know who's scarier, my mom or my sister. So.
Well, you're filling the good shoes, aren't you?
I know. I got good ones to fill. So.
Oh, my God. All right. Are you guys afraid of anything?
I think everybody's afraid of something. In the back of your mind, you're always afraid of failure, whatever that means. But, you know, we just can't dwell on that. Once you become profitable in this business, it seems like your mind shift always progresses into the future and growth. When you're surviving, all you're thinking about, man, I hope this doesn't blow up on me because it all could fall apart.
You guys talked about struggle. You also talked about surviving. And those are two S words that really go together. And I think there's a big takeaway here. All the top shops that listen to this show, they get you guys. But the struggle ones, the ones that need to get, climb up above, if you will, that hole that they're digging, okay? You said something so powerful. I want to talk about it. Once you start making money, you're really, I got to make more. I got to learn how to make it. I got to be smarter at this. Because look at what the profits can do for a company. The talent you can hire, what you can pay, the benefits you can provide, the equipment you can buy. And that, I think, is so big and it's so powerful. When you start making money, life changes.
It does. I look at the way that the business had ran, and Dad did everything he could at the best of his ability to make it survive, and he did. But, you know, I was saying we're doing some expansion in the back, new lifts, new heating, lights, and I mean making basically another extension to the shop. And the difference from today after, you know, being profitable versus 5 years ago, if we would have tried to do this, it would have been just do the bare minimum to get by. When we started this, it was kind of planned, but not really. But we've spent a lot of money in the last few months. But the difference is we've had the money to spend on the expansion. And in the back of my mind, I think about, you know what? I'm doing this for this goal that's in the end. And yes, it kind of sucks a little bit now because of the cost. But I haven't lost sight of the vision down the road of we're going to double.
You would have never done this if there wasn't the ROI.
No.
You would never done it.
No.
Is it almost done?
Just yes.
Wow.
It actually got some pictures. We've got a couple cars in there torn apart this week. So I'm excited to get back and obviously staff up for it and move forward.
Patrice, have you ever fired a customer?
No, I don't think so. I think I just deal with everybody and, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody has their things they're going through and maybe something's happening in their life and their car breaks down and it's the worst thing and they can ever do, but the worst thing that could ever happen to them at that moment. But if you can make that experience a good experience for them, it can actually, it will seem to help their whole situation. Our customers, like I said before, like we're super fortunate. We have a great clientele. We have a great area we live in. Families and families come in. There's a one lady that comes in. She's very strong personality. She walks in one day and's like, I have to quit telling people about you. And I'm like, why would you do that? She's like, because I can't get in anymore now. All my friends are coming. I got it. And she,
all right, we need four new bays.
Yeah. For her, she has the biggest personality and she does podcasting and has a very big voice in the community. You know, she's in our waiting room and she's everyone's best friend the whole time. So, you know, the word of mouth is what's so great for us with our clients because they're telling their friends about us. The whole thing about firing customers, we don't really do that.
You said something very interesting there. Everybody has a story, and I would love to dig into that in a minute, but you just hit something. There's millions of podcasts out there, and there are so many locals. Everybody wants to be a podcaster, number one. Number two is, I love bourbon, so I'm going to go hook up with a bar, and I'm going to go there on a Friday night, and I'm going to do a podcast, and we're going to drink bourbon. Or it's flowers or it's community. And if you think about the marketing side of that, get to befriend every podcaster in your town in South Jordan and make sure they're clients and you maybe you'll never have to market again.
There you go.
We may have to keep expanding. So.
Oh, shit. What a bay. Oh, I would never want that to happen. Are you kidding me? Four more bays after these four?
Well, and it's funny, at times her husband does commercial real estate. And so whenever there's a shop for sale or something that pops up in our area, I get the email and I turn to her and she's like, no, let's get ours fixed first.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting that you say that, get it fixed. It's never going to be fixed.
No, and we've realized that.
So how many more shops could you have had? If Tracy said yes to every one of your husband's things.
I mean, he's sent like 10 of us in front of us. So there's, who knows?
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say fix. Let's get this one duplicatable.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's pretty damn powerful because you're right. Because you know enough about being able to go into another place and you struggle with number two. And if you don't have the processes and the systems in play and you think of even wanting to go into three. And I'm All the multi-shop operators out there know it, and they've come on my show and said, confession, you know, about, oh my God, we finally figured it out after store 3.5.
Yeah.
And that's because they did it on their own. They did it with no guidance, and they weren't even prepared to do 2, but they did it because can't pass up this opportunity. It just came to me. I had to say, yes, the numbers were right. And they thought that they could just flip a switch. No. And it just doesn't do that.
No, and we've got to protect our business and our brand, and we will never do anything. If that time comes and it's time to do something like that, we'll pursue it. But, you know, right now is let's make the best of what we've got.
I have one question for each of you. A big takeaway from this conference so far that you're going to go back and do something with.
I think culture is huge. We've always had a positive culture at our shop. We've had a couple people here and there that can bring the shop down. But if we really focus on the culture ourselves, which it actually starts with us. How do we come to work in the morning? How do we present ourselves to other people? That's just going to be contagious to our guys. If I walk in the shop all mad and grumpy and mad that it's a Monday, that just sets the tone for them. So I think even just holding ourselves accountable, right? We use that word a lot this weekend too. We need to be accountable for us to start or to It's contagious. If you have a great attitude, just walk into the work and just have a great attitude about things, everybody else will. You have that one guy in the corner that you're just like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with him, right? Just lift him up. So I think culture is a lot too about just the way that we hold ourselves in the management part of the system.
My friend Shari Pheasant described culture to me this way. She says, Carmen, it's the weather. I took that from her and it just really hit me hard. And then on podcasts, I would say, so is there a thundercloud in Bay 3? Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be a perpetual thundercloud, but it could be just for today. Something may have happened to that individual and it's maybe bringing down the rest. And, you know, but I guess the goal would be sunshine every day.
Yeah. But just knowing that your team members, that they know that we have their back, that we're there to support them. We all have families. We all have other things outside of that shop. So just really understanding them as you're not just my employee, you're a person and I do care about you. I care about your well-being and I care about your family. We come from the family background of the business. We have a family culture in our shop. Like our one technician, Cody, we always joke that he's my little brother I wish I had. I would take all 3 of my brothers and take him instead. Our mom says that too. So just the family dynamic that we have inside our shop with our employees, it's just a natural thing for us because that's how we grow up.
You know, the word I just thought about, Patrice, is fit. He fits.
He does.
He fits in the organization. He fits in the family. He fits. He knows what we do and how we do it. And what I took from Dr. Jesse Krieger yesterday was this whole storytelling thing. And I talked to Parker yesterday. Parker starts every meeting twice a day with his service advisors and say, tell me a story.
I like that.
Yeah, that's really
good. Cool. Big takeaway for you.
Overall, it's kind of a general term, but we can do better. That's kind of been in the back of my mind from all the speakers and what we can learn. We can have a better culture at the shop. We can do better inspections for our customers. We can have better customer service. We can have a better customer experience. We can be better at being involved in the community. There's certain aspects that I think at sometimes you think, well, I do enough community support. I feel like I do enough, but you know what? We can all do better. And I think is that we force ourselves to do more. It's going to force growth is what it'll do.
Well, I so wish you guys all the luck in the world. And, you know, the big thing about conferences, and I think we spoke about it while we're here recording. I used to go to conferences. I still do. But when I owned the business, I'd come back. They never, Carm, don't go to a conference.
Yeah. Yep.
You know the drill, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's going to come back. And we're going to have to change. He's going to implement new stuff. And I realized that it was, again, I had to learn. I had to grow up. I had to become a better leader. And it was just, wow, gangbusters, right? 0 to 60 in, 1.9 seconds after a while. Hey, I learned this and I saw this. Read this. What do you think of this? And slowly get some buy-in. And if it's going to work for the company, you can't push. It's got to be pulled into.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Great advice. Wow. This was fun. Thank you for sharing this great episode, very emotional. Thank you for sharing all that. Tracy Holt, Patrice Vance, brother, sister at Performance Place in South Jordan, Utah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carm. I've enjoyed your podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.